Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. I just can't seem to get out of the book of Joshua. I've preached about miracle territory. I've talked about preparing for possessing the land. I just can't get away from the story of Joshua. How many realize there's just so much involved in this passage of Scripture that God wants to speak to His children? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants that when He created you and I, when God created man, He intended for our life to be a life of discovery and a life of adventure. Can you say amen? I don't believe that God ever intended that you and I to go through this life bored and having a humdrum life. But I really believe that every day that the life of a Christian should be filled with an adventure and filled with what God has prepared for him for that day. Amen? You see, I believe that today God has prepared something for me, amen? An adventure that I might be able to be a part of, amen? Something that He wants to do in my life that is beyond my capability and beyond my own reasoning, my own understanding. But He wants to do something in me that only He can perform, amen? How many know that's an adventure, amen? The title of my message today is The Great Adventure of Life, amen? From the impossible to the incredible. If you've noticed, we've used that theme since we've been here. Have you realized that God wants to take us from where we are to the place that He wants us to be? Amen? And it's always an incredible journey. Amen? It's from what we can't understand or what we can't do in ourselves to what God wants to do and perfect in us. Amen? That it's an impossibility, but it's an incredible feat that God wants to do in us. Now, through the years, I've learned that what I thought was a bad adventure. Has anybody ever had a bad adventure? You started out on an adventure and it turned out to go the wrong way? I have, man. Let me tell you. I thought, hey, this is the best thing. It's going to be great. And it turned out to be horrible. Has anybody ever gone camping? You know what that's like, amen? Camping can go bad quickly, you know? A bunch of us men one time, we used to get together and go out in the woods and put up a tent, and we'd take a guitar, we'd sing around the campfire, and we'd pray and seek God, and just had a great time together in the presence of the Lord. And one day I got a call, and one of the guys says, hey, you want to go out and camp out tonight? And let's get a couple of guys. We said, yeah, let's do that. So we went. So I said to him, he came by the church, and we was packing up stuff, you know. We always had coffee. How many know what I'm talking about? You got to have coffee when you're camping out. Always had a fire. And so what happened was we got into this situation, and I said, you think we need a tent? And the guy says, oh, no, I got some Visqueen in the back of the truck. We'll just use that. I said, okay. So I threw the tent back in the closet. We got out there. We're unpacking everything, and it's just getting to be about dark. You know what I'm talking about. And he said, did you bring the tent? I said, you told me not to bring it. He said, well, I thought I had some Visqueen in the back, but all I've got is this little, like, 5 foot wide, you know, that's 100 feet long. I said, that's going to kind of be hard to make a tent out of that unless we sleep end to end, you know, and have it 40 feet long, you know. So we rigged it up. We threw it up into the tree, a tree branch, and brought it down and made us a little lean-to. And we started there. We had a great time singing and worshiping. And it started getting late. And then all of a sudden, it started to rain. So we all got underneath that little Visqueen, and it started thundering and lightning and pouring, and every mosquito in the woods came under that Visqueen. I mean, you know what I mean? Let me tell you, it was bad. It was bad. We were swatting mosquitoes all night long, and none of us got any sleep but one guy. One guy snored so bad, he snored, and none of us could sleep for the mosquitoes, but we couldn't have slept because of him snoring. And we got up the next morning, and let me tell you, normally we'd fix coffee and fix some breakfast and sit around. None of us did that. We started unpacking and getting out of there. And the guy who snored all night said, I didn't sleep a wink last night. He looked at him like, are you kidding? He says, those mosquitoes ate me up. But an adventure can go bad quickly, amen? But I found out that sometime what I thought was a bad adventure turned out to be the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. How many realize that? You can't really. It's just how you look at things. Amen. And how God allows things to come into your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's look at chapter 3 of Joshua. And I want to read you something here. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. And he and all the sons of Israel set out to Shittim and came unto Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. They were talking about crossing over the Jordan. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, this is, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. I want you to underline that. Go after it. In other words, when you find the presence of the Lord, when the presence of the Lord begins to pass your way, how many realize we ought to go after it? We need to go after the things of God. Amen? And that's what he's saying. Go after it. Don't leave it. Stay with it. And then in verse 4 he says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubic feet measured. Come not near unto it. Now people say, well, what does that mean, Pastor Rick? Well, what that's saying today is, listen, when the Ark of the Covenant comes by, listen, that was the presence of God. And he's saying, listen, you need to keep some distance between you and the Ark, which represents the presence of God. What he's saying is, don't become too familiar with the things of God. How many realize what I'm talking about today? How many of you know that you can become so familiar with the things of God that you begin to take the things of God for granted? Amen? You can take it for granted. And that's what he's saying. Don't lose respect for the things of God. I'm afraid that many times we get so familiar with what God is doing and what God's doing that we take for granted what God is doing. And God doesn't have that awesome respect that we're to give Him. Amen? How many realize there's a thing called the fear of the Lord? Amen? Now that doesn't mean that we shudder in fear at His presence. What does that mean? It says that we give God a great honor and worship of our heart. But we can become so accustomed to it that the things of God become like second hand to us. And they don't mean that much to us anymore. We got to be careful about that. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, that ye may know the way by which you shall go. How many realize that if we'll listen to the presence of the Lord, if we'll be led by the Holy Spirit, He will lead us. Amen? When you find the presence of God, go after it. But don't let the presence of God become something mundane or something that is so taken for granted. He says, but when you find the presence of God, go after it and let Him lead you to where He wants to take you. Listen to me this morning, church. There's a place that God wants to get you to. Amen? We as a church, there's a place that God wants to take us as a body of believers. Amen? But there's individuals here today that God has a plan for your life and He wants to take you from the place you are right now to where He wants you to be. Amen? And there's only one word that you can describe that. And that is an adventure. Can you say amen? And then it goes on to say, for you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. How many realize that when you go somewhere that you've never been before, it's always an adventure? Amen? You know, Jackie will say to me sometime when we're driving, you're lost, aren't you? I say, no, I'm not lost. I'm taking the scenic route. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Men don't get lost, do they? Oh, no. No way. No way. But how many of you know that when you go somewhere you've never been before, you have to do things you've never done before? And you find yourself in situations that you've, what, never been before. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the basic laws of physics, and I'm not a big physics kind of guy, but I did a little research, and one of the basic laws of physics is this, that an object at rest seems to stay at rest. It remains at rest unless an act is acted upon by an outside force. How many realize that? In other words, if I put a ball up here and it just sits there, physics says it's going to sit there until there's an outside force that hits that or causes that ball to move. Y'all didn't know I was so smart, did you? But the more that I'm involved in ministry, the more that I believe that the same thing that is true in physics is same thing when it comes to spiritual things. How many realize there's a correlation between the natural and the spiritual? And many times what's true in the natural is also true in the physical. Amen? And I also believe that a soul at rest tends to stay at rest until it is acted upon by some outside force. Can you say amen? Now, I'm not talking about rest in the sense of taking a nap, amen? Because I love taking a nap, amen? I used to think that my mom and dad were the craziest people in the world that would go home on Sunday afternoons and crawl up in the bed and take a nap. And I can't wait for Sunday afternoons anymore, amen? They were smarter than I thought, amen? But I believe that there are many in the kingdom of God who have dug their heels in, amen? And they're singing, I shall not be moved. Amen? When they should be singing, I'll follow you wherever you lead me. Or where he leads me, I will follow. There you go. Amen. And I believe that's what God is wanting to do in our midst. Amen. Not just in us as a church, but in your life tonight. That God doesn't want us to dig our heels in and say, this is the way it is, and this is all I want, and I don't want any more. But God wants to move us. How many realize that God is always moving, and he's always wanting to take us places we've never been? I don't care where you're at in your experience with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, there's always a better place, and there's always something more to receive from God. Can you say amen? He won't let you stay in that place. He loved you so much that he saved you where you were at. But he's not content to let you stay there. He wants to move you from where you're at and set you somewhere else. Amen. Where your life can grow and you can find him and you can find peace and you can find joy and you can find your purpose in life. Hallelujah. I believe that the lust for sameness does not contribute to a life of excitement. And does it not? It only contributes to the life of dullness and boredom. And it causes us to become dull in our spirit. Amen. You know, when I'm going to go back just for a minute. When we get so used to the things of God, did you know that we can come into this sacred place day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and we can find ourselves going through the routine, going through the motions, and never ever connecting with our Heavenly Father. Oh, and it's not His desire. His desire is that we have an encounter with Him. People say to me sometimes, Pastor Rick, what's your desire? What you want the church to be? You know what I want it to be? I want it to be a place that where we come together week after week that we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. When we gather together, that we come and we have an encounter with a holy God, amen, who loves us and who wants to change us from the inside out and do something in us, amen, that makes us the people that God wants us to be. I never want to get used to the presence of the Holy Spirit, that I take it as something routinely. I believe the desire to remain the same is contrary to a life of adventure that God's called you and I to. Some people that think that serving God and being a Christian is boring. I mean, you know what I mean? I had a friend of mine before he got saved. You know what he told me? He said, Rick, before I got saved, I thought Christianity was for old men and ugly women. I said, what? He said, absolutely. He said, I figured that old men didn't have anything to do, so they went to church. And old women didn't have anybody to do anything with, so they went to church. He said, but when I came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ got a hold of my heart and life, I found out that God had something for me. Amen. And it wasn't just for old women or whatever it was. Amen. But it was for me. Amen. And that God had something in my life and wanted to change my life. Amen. The Christian life should never be boring. It should never be routine. Hallelujah. The Christian life is never meant to that. I believe the definition of the true Christian life is this. The Christian life is an adventure and the vehicle by which God expands who I am and increases my usefulness for heaven's courts. Amen? It increases my use. God never intended for you and I to be bored as Christians. That's not what God had in His mind. But the adventure that I'm talking about today is that vehicle which God expands who I am and increases my usefulness for His kingdom. Amen? In other words, the real adventure is more than just seeking a thrill. Can you say amen? Now we have people all over the world that are doing crazy things. I don't know if you've seen it. People are jumping off buildings and you know, I forget what they call that, where they jump off and almost hit the ground before they open their parachutes. Something like that. And guys are doing, the people are doing crazy stuff. And they're risking life and limb just to get a thrill. How do you know? You know what I'm saying? Just to get a thrill. They try to fill the void in their life by doing something exciting. By doing something exciting. The only problem with that excitement is short-lived. It's really short-lived if things don't go the way you plan. How many know what I'm talking about? But the thrill only lasts for a moment, and when the thrill is over, the thrill is gone. Amen? I think James Brown had a song like that, or B.B. King, somebody. The thrill is gone. Amen? It's something they must do over and over again or look for something else to do to regain that feeling or that thrill that they had. And that's what they produce in their lives. It produces just trying to do crazy things. But the true Christian adventure allows me to break from my natural desires, which doesn't appeal to my flesh, but overcomes that desire to remain the same. You see, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves wanting just to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. See how monotonous that is? Again. Exactly. Just to repeat over again. And there's no excitement in that whatsoever. But you see, God wants to produce in me something that is greater than that. Something that goes beyond my flesh. You see, the Christian life is a brand new dimension. You know what the Christian life does? It calls me out from where I am. It calls me to a higher level of living. It stretches me sometimes to the point that I'm not very comfortable. But what God does is wanting to change something inside of my life. It calls me to do things that are beyond my ability to do. It calls me to something bigger than myself. Hallelujah. It takes me to a place that I've never been before, and you can only call it an adventure. Amen. The Bible tells us He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. That's the adventure that I'm talking about this morning. Now, how many realize that there are several views in life that will absolutely keep you from obtaining the things that God has for you and keep you from having a true adventure in Christ? And I'm going to give you a couple of those things. Number one, the view is this. People see life as a battle. They see life as a battle. This is what their philosophy is. What I have, I want to keep. What I am, I want to remain. I know all that I ever know, and I'm determined not to know anymore. Life to that kind of person is a fight to minimize any intrusion in their life. And any change is seen as an enemy and is resisted with every bit of strength possible. Amen? Those who hold that view refuse to hear the truth. Amen? Anything they don't know doesn't exist in their concern. They isolate themselves from others and they find themselves in a place of loneliness simply because they refuse to hear the truth and it challenges the littleness of their life. They've made up their mind that no one or nothing is going to change who they are or what they believe. And they exclude people out of their circle of love, and they exclude any new thing or any new idea that God may want to bring into their lives. Amen? And they see life as nothing but a fight. God forbid that our church ever becomes like that. There are millions of churches today all across this great United States that have fallen into that. We got what we want. This is all we want. We don't want any more. Don't come bringing me anything else because we got what we want. Can I tell you what happens to churches like that? They die. They die. How many realize that God wants to do a new thing in us? Amen. People who are like that see life as a fight, as a battle. And they're going to fight anyone that tries to change anything in their lives. And those people are selfish. They're mean-spirited. They're unwilling to bend. How many of you know somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. People like that have two favorite sayings. You know what they say? We've never done it that way before. Amen. And you know the other one they say is, we can't afford it. Church, can I tell you what I want us to say? I want us to say we do it like it's never been done before. Amen? Not like we want to do it like it's never been done before. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? We never want to say we can't afford it. Did you know we can't do the things that we're doing? We can't afford to do them. Do you know that? I know some of you are saying, oh my goodness, are we in trouble? No, we're not in trouble. But the things that we're doing, we really can't afford to do. But why do we do them? We do them because God loves people. We do them because God wants to do something in our lives. We do them because God wants us to step out in faith and see what God will do. Amen? And when you do it, when you can't afford it, can I tell you something? God foots the bill. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We do it because we want to do it. And when we do it, you know what we do? We step in that miracle territory that I was talking to you about last week. Amen? Why? Because I told you, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Amen? Now, y'all ought to get excited about that. Amen? Hallelujah. We step into miracle territory because God makes a way. Hallelujah. The second group of people that view life, they don't view life as a battle, but you know what they view life as? They view life as unimportant. You ever met anybody like that? That life just was not important to them. These people are very lethargic. They are bored with their life. Their life is blasé. There's no zeal. There's no zest within them. And there's two kinds of people in that category. One group feels that life is not important to have an adventure, and their whole life revolves around one thing. You know what it's called? The television. You didn't think you was going to get that today, did you? It revolves around the television. They have no creative thoughts. They just observe life passing by on that little square or rectangular box, whichever you've got, amen? And life is not important to them. It just goes by. They're absolutely in control of their life with that little thing called the remote, amen? And if something comes on that they don't like or something they don't agree with, they just what? Turn it off. They never get up out of that chair and get out into the real world and experience an adventure of their own, amen? Or something that God wants to do in their lives. They are searching through life, channel after channel, hour after hour, trying to find something that will entertain them, someone to make them laugh, someone to give them a vicarious thrill by watching them. They make no efforts to step out and have a real adventure. But there's another category and another area in that category that people fit into, and that's those people who feel life is unimportant because life is not even important to protect it. How many realize that? They don't protect life for themselves. That's why they do what they do. They don't care whether they live or die because they see life as unimportant. So to them, drugs, alcohol, sex is just a way to fulfill the void in their lives. Life is not important to them. And because life isn't important to them, they'll do whatever they want to do because they don't care about the consequences. You ever met people like that? Because sex isn't important, it doesn't matter who they have sex with. And it doesn't matter if they catch disease. It doesn't matter if they have an unwanted pregnancy, because they can discard it without any problem, because life is cheap and it's easy to get rid of. How many know what I'm talking about? It isn't important to them. And they can discard their life. Life is cheap. Somebody disagreed with them, you know what? They just as soon take that life as to take a step on an ant. How many know what I mean? Life is not important to them. They're not concerned about disease. They're not concerned about drug addictions that destroy their family as well as other families. They're not concerned with violence in the street. They simply don't care about their life or your lives, because life is cheap and easy to be discarded. How many know that we have people all around us that feel that way? Life to them means absolutely nothing. But then there's a third group. And you know what? They see life as fragile. They see life as something that's easy to be broken and easy to destroy. They can't have a meaningful relationship with others because they're afraid of being hurt. So they don't do anything at all. They don't get involved in anything except themselves because they're afraid that they will fail at whatever they do. In a way, those are the hardest people in the world to reach. You know why? Because they're faithless. And the Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many realize that today? I'm telling you this morning, not only the only way that you and I can get from God and get things from God is through faith. We have to believe. Amen. Faith is the key which opens up the storerooms of all that God possesses. Amen. And God says, if you'll step out in faith, I have a storeroom that I want to shower upon you. But you have to obtain it, not with a credit card, but you have to obtain it through faith in me, that I can do what I said I can do. And I am who I said I am. And I'll be what I said I would be. And it comes through believing. It comes through faith. I'm telling you today, faith will make you sing in your darkest night, in your darkest hour. How many realize that? Faith will keep you, make you shout when you go to the cupboard and nothing's there. Amen. Faith will keep you going when others turn against you. I want you to know this morning, faith is the key for an adventurous life in Jesus Christ. If you'll walk by faith, let me tell you, you'll have a life of adventure that God will give you. The Bible tells us in Romans 1, chapter verse 17, for herein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God is saying for you and I as believers, listen, the only way that you and I can live is to live by faith. You and I are to walk by faith. We're to sing by faith. We're to give by faith. We're to do everything we do through faith, because the Bible says if we don't, it's called sin. Faith is the key. Are there risks in life? You betcha. You can't walk out the door without taking a risk. How many realize that? Is there brokenness in life? Oh, you know there's brokenness. Many of you here this morning are experiencing the pain of brokenness in your life this morning. Is there failure in life? Oh, my goodness. I have failed at more things than you can shake a stick at. But you know, faith is not cowering to your failures. Faith is getting up again. How many realize that? Amen. So what shall we say to these things? Can I tell you what we say to all those things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Yes, life is full of problems. Life is full of anxiety. Life is filled with its ups and its downs and its ins and its outs. But listen, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Hallelujah. Life is not just one-dimensional. How many realize that? Life is complicated. It's a mixture of mental, emotion, spiritual, and relational. All of these things overlap one another. How many realize that? And the spiritual will overlap in the physical, and the mental will overlap in the emotional. It just happens. All of these things fall over one another. But let me give you an example. Let's just say that you decide that you're going to go on a fast, because you want to take a journey into the presence of God that'll change your life forever. How many realize that's a spiritual journey? But you start to fast and see how quick the physical rises up against it. Amen? The physical gets involved in the spiritual. How many realize that? So we have this conglomerate of mental, physical, and relational and spiritual, and it all over, and it's very complicated. But let me tell you something today. That spiritual journey that God wants to take you on will impact not only your physical, but it'll affect your spiritual, it'll affect your mental, it'll affect your relationships. Everything about you as we go on this journey and step out in faith, it's going to affect all of it today. We can't say, well, I'm just going to give my spiritual life to God and I'm going to keep the physical to myself. Haven't realized it don't work that way. The spiritual journey is going to impact your physical person greatly. Joy sometimes seems to be overtaken by sorrow, but Psalms 126 tells us that they that sow in tears... How many realize that's an emotional thing? They that soweth in tears, he says, shall reap in joy. You sow emotionally in tears, but you know what you do? You reap in joy, which is what? Spiritual. Amen? There's something about us that resists the adventure of sorrow. So what do? We fight it. We resist it. But before you and I can know joy, how many realize we've got to know sorrow, amen? Before you and I can really shout, we've got to know how to what? Weep, amen? Before you can have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, you've got to know what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen? You have to understand that. I've had to fight some battles before, amen? Before I can experience the glorious victories in Jesus Christ. I've won some of those and I've lost some of those. But when I've won, you know what? I rejoice, but there's another one around the corner. When I lost, the Bible tells me to rise up and to keep on fighting. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Unless we're willing to embrace the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, we'll not know what it is not to fear any evil. We will not know the comfort of the shepherd's staff in our lives. You know, I want this church to know the joys of victory. Amen. That's one reason I celebrate every little thing that we do. Amen. I don't care how little it is. When we wrote that first check to the mortgage company and we were paying interest and principal, I had a little dance. Amen. You know why? Why? Because it's a victory. It's a victory. We celebrate our victories. There was a man in the book of Revelation that's described as a beast. And the Bible says that this man had four faces. How many remember that in the Bible? Anybody remember reading that? And it said that this beast, one of these faces, four-faced creatures, one of the faces was that of a lion. The other was a face of an ox. The other was a face of an eagle. And the fourth face was the face of a man. How many remember that? You remember that reading that? I want you to know this morning. The lion in that passage of Scripture represents bravery and strength. Strength, strong and full of courage. How many know that we need some lions in the church today? Amen? We need some lions, men and women who are strong in faith, that are not afraid of the devil, that's willing to look the devil in the face and not back up, hallelujah, and literally push back the gates of hell, amen. We need some lions in this church today, amen, that'll stand strong in faith, amen. I wonder if we got any lions here this morning, amen, hallelujah. The next face that is on that beast is a face of an ox. Now don't go out of here and say that the pastor called the people an ox today, okay? But how many realize we need some oxes in the church? Amen? The faces of the ox An ox is a beast of burden. The ox is what pulls a yoke. It plows the field. It carries the load. How many realize that if we didn't have a few oxen in the church, we wouldn't get anything done? Amen? And we need people, men and women, that are willing to carry some loads, prepare the field for the harvest. Amen? The other face was the face of an eagle. How many of the eagles have long vision? They can see further than any other animals. How many believe that we need some eagles in our church today? You know, those are men and women who have vision. Men and women who have vision. They can look. There are people who can look ahead. Men and women who can see things not as they are, but they can see them as they can be. Men and women who can walk out of this building and envision what can be done for the glory of God. Amen. They can see little children filling this place up. They can see this church reaching the lost and needy people. They can see people who are needing a church. We need men and women in this church to be visionaries. Amen. And the last face is the face of a man. Why a man? Because man is the only creature that can have fellowship with its creator. Amen? Because man is the only creature that can worship God and commune with our Heavenly Father. God wants to give us the heart of a lion, the work habits of an ox, the vision of an eagle, and the face of a man that he can commune and love and reach out and touch a lost world for the glory of God. That's the kind of church I want us to be, church. I want that kind of church. That's what we want us to be. And how many believe that's what kind of church God wants us to have? You know, I want us to be a well-rounded church. I'm getting rounder by the minute. Amen. But I want us to be balanced. I want us to be all that God wants you and I to be. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is that God has an adventure for us as a body. And there's a place He wants to take us. There's people He wants us to engage with. There's an adventure that God has for us. Man may choose to go his own way, but God will never give up on him. Amen. Hallelujah. God never gives up on him. So He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, pay the penalty of sin and death. He took a beating. He took a nailing on the cross. But He didn't give up. Why? Because His life was an adventure. It was filled with pain, but He didn't quit. And as a result of His adventure, we sit here this morning able to lift our hands and worship the Holy One who gave Himself to us. Amen. God said to Joshua, I'm going to take you on an adventure, Joshua. I'm going to take you to a place that you've never been before. I want you to think of that. I believe this morning that God is speaking to us as a body, but also as individuals in this place. I believe He wants to speak into our hearts. You know what He's saying? He's saying, I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you to a place that you've never been to before. I want to show you things that you've never seen before. I want you to experience things that you've never experienced before. I want to take you to that place. Now, can I tell you something? Along the way may be steep. You realize that? Along the way, the way, there's times that it can even be dangerous. You may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Who knows where God might lead you and I this morning? But I can tell you something. If you'll take His hand and you'll let Him lead you, you don't have to go by yourself. Amen? He will lead you every step of the way this morning. Oh, listen to me. Oh, He knows where He leads you. When tragedy comes, when bad things come, remember He's the one that knows the way. Amen. He is the one who says all things work together for good. Who's good? God's good. And if it works out for God's good, it's going to work out for your good. Can you say amen? To them that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. Can I tell you this morning, Paul knew what the adventurous life was at. He said yes to Jesus. And you know what? He was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. But he writes in Romans 8, chapter 18, this, for I reckon, you didn't know that Paul was Southern, did you? He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. You might have some hard times along the way. But can I tell you something? It's not to be revealed or even be compared to what God wants to reveal in your life. Paul had an adventurous life. God had a purpose for his life, just like he has for you. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, who went to the Belgian Congo. I don't know if you know this or not, but the day that he was supposed to go home from Africa, remember, for about 6 years they thought he was dead. The day that they were coming to get him, you know where they found David Livingstone? Kneeling on a cot in his tent. Dead. He died praying for Africa. His life was an adventure. Amen. You know what happened? They were coming to take his body, and you know what? The African people were reluctant to let him have the body. He had been there for so long, and they loved him so much. He had brought the love of Jesus to them. And you know what they did? They cut David Livingstone's heart out, and they said, you can have his body, but his heart belongs in Africa. David Livingstone went on an adventure. Why? Because God had something in store for him. Amen. And he spent his life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to hurting, broken people. Mark Bontaine, I don't know if you know of him, but he is a great missionary. October 1954, he started a one-year mission assignment to the country of India that turned into a lifetime. And there in India, you know what he did? He began to heal the sick. He began to feed the poor. He fed over 7,000 people a day in Calcutta, India. He built one of the most modern hospitals there in Calcutta. You know, the hospitals were so bad that rats infested the hospital. They would tell the patients, bring you a cat to protect you from the rats. That's how bad it was. And yet, Mark Bontaine gave his life of service. He was an adventurer. You know what his saying was? He was saying, we can't, but God can. We can't. How many realize we can't, but God can? God can. Hallelujah. People everywhere are searching for an adventure. But the greatest adventure is knowing God in a realm, touching the heart of God. Amen. Touching and hearing Him, letting Him lead you, letting Him take you, letting Him guide in your direction. This is a world, there's a world out there crying for help. Can I tell you something? Mother Teresa's dead. We need another Mother Teresa. She may be in this auditorium today. Who knows? Mark Bontaine is dead and somebody's got to take his place. Billy Graham is dead and somebody needs to take his place. The world is in need of another David Livingstone. How many know what I'm talking about? And God is looking for people who have a heart for an adventure. Can I tell you something this morning? There is an adventure waiting on you this morning just outside these doors. There are hurting people that you can heal. There are children out here that you can love. There are marriages out there that are broken, that are in need of repair, that you can mend if you'll just follow God's adventure. You may say, Pastor Rick, I'm afraid. I'm scared. You don't have to be afraid when you know that Jesus goes with you. How many realize that today? God has an adventure waiting on you today. Why don't you just step out and dust the dust off of your feet of this old boring life and step out with faith filled with the adventure? God wants to use you. Why don't you ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me today? Why don't you get a dream? Why don't you begin to plan? And why don't you begin to work on that dream until that dream begins to work on you? Amen. Stephen Curvis.